You are listening to a podcast by Spring Hill Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. Spring Hill Church is called to reach everyday people with God's grace, His unconditional love, and the life-changing power of His Word. Thanks for listening. And if you would like more information, you can visit us online at springhill.cc.
Well, take out your message notes, and we're going to get into the message. This is part four of our series called Body Armor. Everybody say body armor.
Body armor.
Come on, say it again. Now, I love this. We're diving into some things. I want to say this to you. If you missed last week's message, please go to the website and either watch it or listen to it, and because it's going to play into some things that we're going to talk about today. Also, I want to tell you, all of my notes that I'm preaching from are already on the website. So if you want to get your smartphone, you can follow along already and there, and just, you know, or you can fill in the blanks. The scriptures will be on the screen for you. But let's get into this. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 13 is our foundation scripture. So it says this, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil," or the trickery or the deceit of the devil. "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Turn to somebody close by and say, "Stand."
Stand.
Tell them again, you need to stand.
Stand.
Now, here's the first thing. We're going to just jump right into this. The first thing I want you to see this morning and is this, that through the blood of Jesus, and if you weren't here, please listen to last week's message. But through the blood of Jesus, we have been utterly and completely set free from Satan's control. If you remember last week, we talked about the slave market and how, Adam sold us to another master and he became our master and abused us and just did horrible things to us. But Jesus, God sent Jesus to come into the slave market to set us free and break us free from that master and then take us out of the slave market. He made us sons, and then he also restored back to us everything that Adam had before he sinned. And so Jesus did an awesome work. And so what we want to do is we want to understand that the power of sin, death, darkness, and the devil has been broken off of you. And that's really true for every human being. Somebody says, "Well, why doesn't everybody get saved?" Because they don't know. And that's our job to tell them, hey, Jesus has already paid the price. Jesus has come to set you free. And so you need to be free. You need to receive what Jesus has done for you. And so although all of that took place, then the question comes to bear, then why is there still a battle? Then why does the battle rage on? Well, here's what I want you to see, and write this down. Freedom becomes a way of life only as we replace our wrong thinking and wrong believing with what the Word of God declares about our new condition. See, a lot of times Christians are still living under the same bondages with the same issues, the same problems, because they don't know, or if they do know a little bit, they believe a little wrong, their thinking is wrong. And so what we have to do is we've got to understand, number one, what our new condition is, and then we've got to begin to change our thinking to come in line with what God's Word says about who we are. The Scripture, to give you an example. The Scripture says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, that therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a what? New creation, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. He goes on to say in the 21st verse of that same chapter, for he who knew no sin was made to be sin for us so that we could be made righteous, the righteousness of God. So not only are you born again, and listen, we didn't just get fire insurance. You know, I know a lot of Christians that live like we just got fire insurance, but no, you're a brand new creation. If you've received Christ, you're a brand new person that did not exist before. And not only that, you've been made right with God. You are the righteousness of God. So it's those types of truths that we've got to begin to reveal or renew our minds to. Now, here's the problem. Because we were so abused by the devil while we were in bondage and we were in slavery, that some of us don't realize that we've been set free from all of that, and we've been set free from the scars that we experienced while we were in bondage. So really, here's what renewing your mind, and I know if you've been around this church for a while, you've heard us talk about renewing your mind, and it's an important principle, an important truth, but here really is what renewing your mind is all about. It's about removing these residual areas from the past so that those strongholds won't continue to control you, okay? It's about renewing your mind is about causing what Jesus has done on the inside to become a reality in our lives and become manifest in our lives and to begin to wipe out those residual areas. I'm telling you, there's nothing worse than a born-again child of the Most High God to continue to live like you're a slave. Come on now. There's nothing worse than that. Jesus has already set us free. And so what we've got to understand is that we have been set free from that, and we've been set free from all the residue of any of that stuff left behind. You don't have to live the way you've been living. Now, excuse me, puberty kicking in. Pray for your pastor. I'm 56 and just going through puberty. So, but anyway, now here's what you need to understand about your adversary, the devil. And I'm not here to glorify the devil, but we do need to be made aware of how he operates. Now, what he does is he examines your life and looks for areas, and we'll talk about those areas in just a second, but he looks for areas where you have opened the door for him to gain access back into your life. You know, he just is not convinced that he's not supposed to be your master. He hasn't gotten a hold of that truth yet. And so what he fails to realize is that you've been set free, that his power over you is broken. And what he does is he observes your life and listens to what you say, sees your behavior, and looks for areas that he can gain access back into your lives. What he does is he pokes and prods you. He just pokes and prods you to see if he can find. And I don't mean the devil personally. I'm talking about somebody on his team. But they poke and prod. Somebody says, yeah, I'm married. No, you're not married to them, okay? No. I'm just kidding. But he does. He looks at our lives to see if there are areas where he can gain access. So I want to give you some doors this morning that the devil tries to look for to gain access back into your life, okay? Here we go. Let's look at this list. The first one is wrong thinking. Wrong thinking. Did you know you can be a born-again Christian and still have wrong thinking? Your thinking can be based on the way you used to think before you got born again. And if you've never been taught and trained to think differently, you know, people will think like they've always thunk, if you don't mind me saying it that way. Here's the next one, and these really lead into each other. The next one is wrong believing. See, what you think about the most, you believe in your heart. Okay? So what you think about constantly, you ultimately begin to believe. So if we have wrong thinking in our lives, then ultimately we're going to believe the wrong things. And so, you know, there's areas where, we've been believing wrong things. And what that does is that opens the door for the enemy to be able to gain access. So what you think about, you begin to believe. And what you believe, Jesus said this, that what gets down into your heart in abundance will ultimately come out of your mouth. So the next thing is the enemy listens for wrong speaking. So wrong thinking, wrong believing, and then wrong speaking. All of those are connected together. Because again, ultimately, whatever you think about the most, you begin to believe. What you believe, you will say. All right? Now, you know, I learned this a long time ago as a pastor, that especially, you know, if somebody has asked to meet with me for, some guidance or something like that, usually what I do is I might ask a leading question to get them to start talking, and then I shut up and listen to what people have to say, because sooner or later, people will tell you what's already in their heart. People will tell you what they believe. And we're all built that way. We're all designed that way. So wrong thinking, wrong believing, wrong speaking. Now here's something that you might not be aware of, and that is this, that what the enemy looks for are memories of terrible experiences that happened before we knew the Lord that we still allow to dominate our emotions. Now that's kind of wordy and a little deep, so let me say it again. Memories, the enemy looks for memories, or he looks for you to display these things, memories of terrible experiences that happened before we knew the Lord that we still allow to dominate our emotions. Now, I want to say this to you. I'm not minimizing bad experiences. We've all experienced things in our lives, some to, you know, a more degree than others, but I'm not minimizing those experiences, nor am I excusing if they were, you know, perpetuated in your life by another person. But what I'm telling you is, as a child of God, you don't have to live in bondage to those memories. Okay? You don't have to live in bondage to those experiences. They don't have to continue to control you. But if you want to hang on to them, especially, now this goes hand in hand with what Jesus said, you know, in our favorite faith scriptures where we like to talk about speaking to the mountain and then receiving what we pray, if you continue reading right on, Jesus said, and when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any so that your Father in heaven can forgive you. See, part of that goes hand in hand with this in that if you refuse to forgive somebody for a hurt that they have, you know, brought into your life and done to you, if you want to hang on to that, then listen to me very carefully. That is a door that the enemy can gain entrance into your life. That's why Jesus didn't want you to just forgive people for the sake of forgiving them. That's important. But what he also knew is that offense is something that opens the door for the enemy to be able to come into your life. So here's what you need to do. You need to forgive, and you need to be like Frozen and let it go. Okay, anybody heard that song, Let It Go? Let it go. Anyway, here's the next thing. What's something else that the enemy looks for? Fears that were transferred to us from our parents, family members, or even friends. Fears. Things that you're afraid of. And I'm not talking about, not liking to... I don't like spiders, okay? Or things like that. I'm talking about fears where I know people that are... I'm talking about deeply in bondage to things like flying. I mean, I used to work with a guy that he couldn't get on it. And listen, we traveled for a living. He could not get on an airplane unless he had had a Valium and about two glasses of wine. Why? Because he was scared out of his mind about flying. And I would tell him, now, and he's bragging on me, I'm talking about Psalm 91. I told him, listen, dude, as long as you're on this plane with me, we ain't going down. Okay, I don't care if the wings fall off, the tail falls off, the engines fall off. We getting on the ground and we walking away from this joker. All right, so you don't have to do all that when you're with me. But anyway, but fears that were transferred. Did you know your parents and your grandparents or family members can pass those fears on to you? And what we can't do is allow those fears to stay and to control us because the enemy looks for those things. That's why in 1 John it says that perfect love casts out fear. What you need to do is you need to get a revelation. And the only way I could say what I said when I told my friend that was, I have a revelation of how much God loves me and God loves him. And because I have a revelation of the love of God, that drives out fear from my life. Are you listening to me? Now here's the last thing, and this one's huge, okay? And that is this, and maybe those of you who are younger, you don't have so much of this, but those of us who are older, years of incorrect doctrine taught to us in our former churches that we must now unlearn and overcome. Okay? Now, I'm not putting other churches down, folks. Listen, I'm not criticizing another church. I'm not knocking them whatsoever. They're preaching all they know, all right? But here's the thing. Just because you preach what you know doesn't make it truth. It has to come from the Word. Let me give you an example. You know, people, there's pastors standing in pulpits today saying things like, you know, if you don't get right with God today, then, you know, I can't promise you that you're going to make it through the week. You know, to guilt people into doing stuff. Or, you know, God's going to get you for that. Or things like, I don't know why that person died, but there was a purpose in that, and God's must have been moving in their life and wanted to teach them something, or, you know, those types of things. And you never wondered this, okay? If God puts sickness and disease on people to teach them something, why don't they ever get it? No, listen to me. Jesus said in John chapter 14, He didn't say sickness and disease is the teacher of the church. He said the Holy Spirit is the teacher of the church. Calamity, bad things happening in our lives, can you learn from them? Yes, you can learn from them, but that doesn't mean you have to go through them. Come on now. So what we need to do is we've got to unlearn some of these things. We've got to change our thinking and root some of that out. And the only way that you can do that is through the power of the Word of God and by the Holy Spirit. So in these areas, in your soul, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions, is the strategic center of spiritual warfare. You need to know that. Joyce Meyer has a great book out. I highly recommend it if you've never read it, called The Battlefield of the Mind. Because, you know, a lot of us have been running around trying to chase demons and devils behind bushes and doorknobs and all this kind of stuff when at the same time we haven't done anything to renew our mind, change our thinking, so we're missing the whole point of spiritual warfare. 95 to 98% of your battle is going to take place right here in between your two ears, in your mind and in your thinking. And so you need to know that's where the enemy desires to work. And so what this means is before we were born again, you need to understand what the condition of your mind was before you got born again. Let me show you a couple of verses. Romans chapter 8, verse 7 says this, "The mind governed by the flesh," listen, "is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so." And listen, if you lived a while as an adult especially, or as a late teens, an adult, before you gave your heart to Jesus, you need to understand something. Your mind resisted and fought against God. Now here's the thing that I want you to see in this, and that is this. Unless you do something about it, it will continue to fight against God even after you're born again. See, when you're born again, your spirit is made new, but your mind is not, nor is your body. If you were bald before you got saved, you're bald after you got saved. Okay? So that's why Paul gives us instructions of things we need to do. You need to let your body become a living sacrifice. Paul said, "I keep my body under." So you need to learn how to control your flesh. And then he's also told us, and we'll read this in a second, but he also told us, do something about your thinking. Look at this verse in Colossians chapter 1, verse 21. He said, "Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior." So before Christ, you know, we were enemies. Our thinking, our mind were operated against God. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 18. It says this, "With the Lord's authority, I say this," or in other words, God is telling me to tell you this, "live no longer as the Gentiles do." And Gentiles means people outside of a relationship with God, "for they are hopelessly confused." Now, can I say this to you? Don't get mad at the world for acting like the world. Because here's what happens. You and I, you know how we do. We watch Entertainment Tonight or Extra or Access Hollywood, or you look at TMZ or one of those sites just because we want to see the latest Hollywood gossip, because some of those folks are cray-cray. You know what I'm saying? And so What I'm wanting you to see is that it amazes us that have been born again and you know, we're in church and we love Jesus and we're like, how can those people do some of the things that they do? Because their minds are at enmity, the Bible says, or enemies against God. Listen, can I just say it to you this way? They don't know any better. They're acting like sinners are supposed to act. So don't get mad at them when they don't act like born again Christians. Come on now. Even your friends at work, you know, the people, you know, that person that gets on your last nerve, and if they eat your yogurt out of the refrigerator one more time, you know, even after you put your name on the yogurt cup, they still go in there and listen. If they don't know Jesus, they can't help it. They're just acting like they're supposed to act. Now, here's the thing. Born again people shouldn't act that way. All right? So he says, with the Lord's authority, I say this, live no longer as the Gentiles do, for they are hopelessly confused. Their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life God gives because they've closed their minds and hardened their hearts against Him. So outside of a relationship with Jesus, that's a description of somebody who's lost. Now here's the tragedy. It's for somebody who gives their heart to Jesus to still function in that right there because their thinking is not right, all right? Here's the next thing I want you to get, and look at this. Very often, it is through the unrenewed mind that the enemy is able to exert his foul influence over us. So those doorways of wrong thinking, which lead ultimately to wrong behavior, are the doorways that the enemy looks for so that he can exercise his influence in our lives. So here's a couple of scriptures that I mentioned this, but let's look at them. Romans 12, verse 2 says this, "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by going to church 6 days a week." Now, I'm a pastor. I love going to church. But did you know going to church 6 days a week is not going to change your thinking or change your behavior? Okay? You need to go to church. But that's not what does it. Nor does it say, but let God transform you into a new person by trying to pray 6 hours a day. Now, I'm a man of prayer. I believe in prayer. I have a strong prayer life myself, but that is not what causes my behavior to change. What causes my behavior to change is exactly what Paul says. Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. So here's what I want you to see out of that verse. Transformation in your life takes place as you change the way you think. Turn to somebody beside you and say, you need to get rid of your stinking thinking. Now, let them tell it to you, okay? Don't you just be, all right, tell it to somebody else. Say, you need to change your thinking. Come on, y'all, you don't whisper it. Come on, don't apologize for it. Paul said it, not you. I hear some people like emphasizing it right over here. I'm talking to you. You know you need... Okay. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Okay, I left this out of your notes, but let's look at it anyway if you want to make just a note of it. Ephesians 4, verse 22 through 24, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man or the old you, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. And look at this. Very similar to what he said in Romans 12. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So Paul tells us you need to be renewed in your mind. Now, again, we need to behave differently. We need to act differently. We need to act like people who are born again, who love Jesus. We need to act right. But the point of what we're looking at today is you need to renew your mind so you shut the door on any access for the enemy to have into your life. All right, now here's I've been looking forward to this scripture all week trying to get to it, and then I can't wait to tell you. Okay, here we go. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. All right? Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you in the revelation of Jesus Christ as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance. Now focus on verse 13. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober. Now let's talk about being sober for just a moment. You know, anybody ever been around somebody who's drunk? Okay. How many of you know they don't think right? Some of y'all acting like y'all ain't never seen a drunk person in your life. They're like, I saw a movie about that one time. And no, some of us in this room have, well, you know, anyway. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober. In other words, learn to think clearly. And the only way you can think clearly is when your thinking lines up with God's Word. Now, I want to focus on that first phrase, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Because in the English and in the translation there, we just gloss over it and we don't get what Peter is saying to us. And this is what I've been wanting to tell you, is that the picture that Peter is painting for us is somebody who is running a race. And you have to remember, in the day that Peter wrote this, they wore tunics, you know, that from shoulder to ground length garments. Now, I don't know about you, but anybody in the room ever tried to run and your britches fell down around your ankles? We've probably seen that in the movies or on a comedy or something like that. How many of you know that doesn't work? Okay? Anybody ever, you know, seen somebody on TV or whatever trying to run and their britches fall down and they got them all around their ankles and they're trying to run and their ankles are constrained? That is the picture that Peter is giving us, that somebody who doesn't do anything about their thinking is like a person trying to run and your garments, your britches, your pants have fallen down around your ankles. You're not going to be able to do it. You're going to fall and you're going to make a mess of things. So what the phrase gird up the loins of your mind means is take your tunic and tuck it into your belt so it doesn't get in your way and you can run the race like God wanted you to run. So here's what he's telling us is that the runner whose garments have fallen down and gotten entangled around his ankles, he's running a good race and his stride was picking up, but then all of a sudden his pants fall down. That what happens is he gets tripped up due to wrong thinking. See, there's nothing worse than a believer that's trying to run through life with their pants around their ankles. And somebody said, why are you giving that image to us? Because I want it to ring inside of you so that you, every time you think something stupid or contrary to the Word, you imagine yourself trying to run with your pants around your ankles. Because that's exactly what happens. And so what happens is we begin to pick up speed. Our stride begins to pick up. And then all of a sudden, because of wrong thinking, our garments fall down and we end up getting tripped up and making a mess. And so Peter says, listen, gird up the loins of your mind. In other words, take your mind, tuck it in your belt so that it won't trip you up. Do something about your thinking. Now, here's a phrase that I want you to get. It's not in your notes, but it's on the website. So if you don't get it, you can look at it later. It's kind of wordy, but listen to this. The consistent renewal of our minds with the Word of God, listen, will eradicate wrong thinking, wrong believing, scars from the past, and hurtful emotional memories that will exert or would exert influence on our new life in Christ. Renewing your mind will begin to wash all of that out. It will help you begin to change your thinking, change your believing, help you to get rid of those scars and hurtful things in the past so that they cannot be used by the enemy to dominate and control your life. Listen to me. Spiritual warfare becomes very, and I say this, but you'll understand what I'm saying. It becomes a whole lot easier when you do your part And then God has set this thing up where if we do our part, begin to renew our thinking to the Word of God, we close the door on what the devil can do in our lives. And then guess what? If you close the door on him, he becomes a whole lot less of a problem. Now, I want to say this to you. This process that we're talking about, you do not do it between now and Saturday. It is a lifelong commitment. It's something we have to work on and work on and work on between now and the time we go to heaven. All right? Now, let me give you some basic steps. I want to give you some basic steps. You know me, I'm super, super practical. So I always want to tell you the truth, and then I want to give you some things to help you apply this to your life. So how do you begin to renew your mind? This is nothing new. We've talked about it before. But how do you begin the process of renewing your mind? Here's the first thing that you have to do, and that is you have to put the Word of God first place in your life. The Word of God, God's Word, must become first place in your life. Now, let me tell you what that means. What that means is that you no longer fit God's Word into your life. You fit your life around God's Word. Okay? Do you understand what I'm saying? Because sometimes what we do is we want to make the Word say something so that we can fit our you know, make our life okay with the way that it is, but just let the Bible not really do anything. You know, I heard this week Marilyn Hickey was talking about that she began to read the Bible at a young age, and then all of a sudden the Lord began to minister to her, and she went from reading the Bible to letting the Bible read her. See, that's one of those things you need to think about while you're reading the Word. And here's what I'm trying to tell you. Quit trying to make the Word fit into your life and make your life fit around the Word of God. And you'll be amazed at how your life will become more oriented, how you'll begin to have wisdom, how God will begin to minister to you, how God will begin to change you, and you'll begin to see some things in your life fall into place like God designed for them to be because you made up your mind and decided, you know what? If God's Word says it, that's it. That settles it for my life. You know, when I was a kid, there used to be bumper stickers all around that said, God's Word says it, I believe it, and that settles it. Anybody ever seen one of those bumper stickers? It's a little off, actually. Because the Word doesn't get settled because you believe it. The Word is settled before you believe it, so you're better off believing it. So here's what that bumper sticker should say. God's Word says it, that settles it, and therefore I believe it. Do you see the difference? Okay. So what we've got to do is you've got to put the Word of God first place. So when the Word says things that we need to implement into your life, there's no discussion, there's no negotiation. It's yes, Lord, I'm here for you to command. So you tell me what I need to do. So when God tells you something in your Word, you implement it into your life and it becomes part of your lifestyle. Here's number two. Once you do that, then you have to continually feed upon the Word. Now, what do I mean by that? Feed upon the Word. Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I want to give you a phrase, and I didn't put it in your notes, but if you want to write it down, it's two words, total immersion. Total immersion. You know what total immersion is? It's when you jump in the deep end, and it's over your head, and all of you gets wet. What I'm saying to you is make up your mind that you're going to saturate every area of your life with God's Word. Every area. So maybe there's some opportunities. And listen, in this day and age, we're without excuse. Because I'm old enough to remember, okay, when I'm talking about pre-cassette. Okay? I'm talking about when messages came on reel-to-reel tapes. So some of y'all, you young folks, you don't know the struggle. Okay? And then, now anybody in the room have any 8-tracks? I was talking to a young person this week. Thank you, Steve. God bless you. Praise God. Steve and I had some 8-tracks. I was talking to a young person this week that had no idea, and it was somebody on our worship team. Okay, that's all I'm going to say. That didn't know what 8-tracks were. Y'all pray for this area right up here, okay? 8-tracks were the bomb because you had one cartridge and you had a whole album on this one cartridge. And you could take it anywhere. You could take it in a car. If your car had an 8-track player, you could play it at the house. And then, you know, some of us, our parents had that big old console. You remember that had the turntable and the 8-track player? Some of them had a liquor cabinet, a turntable, TV, and an 8-track player in it. Ours didn't have a liquor cabinet. That was somewhere else. But anyway. And so, you know, we had... But listen, then we got, thank God for cassettes and all of that. But think about today. On this device that I carry in my pocket, not only do I have the full library from Kenneth E. Hagin, I have, innumerable numbers of videos and things like that. If I'd have been a kid and I'd have had a TV like this when I was a kid, I'd have tore, because I love TV anyway, but my God, to be able to carry it around everywhere you went and watch it. So here's my point. We have no excuse not to immerse ourselves in the Word of God. If you're too busy to consume the Word, you're too busy. Well, that just went over awesomely. Hallelujah. Now here's number three. All right, number three is this, and I'm going to explain it. But you got to spend time meditating on the Word. Meditating on the Word. What does meditation mean? Does that mean I cross my legs funny and I sit there and I go, No. That's Eastern meditation. What biblical meditation is where you spend time thinking about God's Word. And listen, it's not volumes. It's take one verse and sit there and ponder it. When the Scripture says, who in his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, and by whose stripes you were healed. You need to spend some time thinking about, especially if you struggle with something in your physical body, you need to spend some time thinking about what would my life look like if I was completely healed? Because according to what the Word says, I am. That's meditation. That's thinking of what would my life look like if I had no financial need? If working was optional. And the only reason I work is because of what Ephesians says, and that I labor to have to give to him that is in need. Now, somebody said, well, Pastor said I didn't have to get a job. I didn't say that, because the Scripture also says if a man that doesn't work don't eat. So you need to get a J-O-B. But here's what I'm talking about. Spending time thinking about the Word of God. And it's not hard. Because listen, we think about television shows. We think about music. We think about all kinds of stuff. Why not spending some of that time thinking about the Word of God? Number four, and this is so very important, you need to act on the Word. Act on the Word. Do what the Word says. So when the Word says to do something, do it. Nike is not the one that originated that. God did. Just do it. The Scripture says in James that we who hear the Word but we don't do it, we deceive ourselves. We're self-deceived. It's one thing for the devil to come in and deceive you, but it's a whole other thing when you deceive yourself. So we've got to be doers of the Word. So when you put the Word first place, you immerse yourself in it, you're thinking about it constantly, and you make up your mind that if I see it in the Word, I'm going to do it, I'm going to be a doer, then that's when you will begin to see your thinking change and in turn, your life change. Now, I want to wrap this up today. I want to give you this truth, and we'll bridge this over to our next part next week. But 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. Okay, I want to get into this, and I want to highlight a couple of things, and then we'll go on till next week. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5 says this, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare, everybody say warfare. Circle it there on your notes if you don't mind. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, we're going to talk about some weaponry later on and some lessons coming up. But I want to talk to you for a moment because he says in verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare, say warfare again, are not carnal. They're not fleshly. They're not of this fleshly world, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Look at this, and I purposely read this from the King James, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, that's a mouthful, and we'll get into more of this later on, but I want to focus on that word warfare. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. The weapons of our warfare. Now, what we have done in Christendom is we've focused on the warfare and we've missed the whole point, because that's not what Paul was telling us. Because what's interesting is in the Greek language, and as I've told you, the New Testament was originally written in Greek, and so Paul wrote it in portions of it in Latin and then Greek. The word warfare, translated from the Greek word, is the Greek word stratos, S-T-R-A-T-O-S, stratos. And it's the word that we get strategy from. Okay? So the weapons of our warfare really isn't so much about us fighting. There is a fight. But really what the weapons are all about and what Paul is telling us is that though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our strategy are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. Here's the thing that I want to leave you with today, and that is this. For spiritual weapons to work effectively, they must be accompanied with a divine strategy on how to use them. You need to have a plan. You need to have a strategy on how to defeat the enemy. So I've given you some principles on how to change your thinking, how to begin the process of renewing your mind. But what I want you to do is I want to give you an assignment, okay? And this is an ongoing assignment. But that is this, that you must have a strategy to go along with the weapons. So before I ever show you what the weapons are, before we ever talk about the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, all of those things, you need to understand that Paul is telling us you must have a strategy on how to use them. Now, here's the thing that I want you to see. Notice that he says in this verse that we have to cast down imaginations and every high thing. Why? For the purpose of pulling down strongholds. Now, I know some have taught that strongholds are demonic fortifications over cities and towns and all that kind of stuff. That's not what Paul is talking about. Because notice the devil is not mentioned anywhere in those verses. He says that you need to have a strategy on how to deal with the strongholds that revolve around your thinking. Okay? So here's what you need to understand. You need to have a strategy. Why? Because there are strongholds that over time have been built up into our thinking that need to be torn down. How do you tear them down? Well, you take the weapons that God gives us, and we'll talk about that, but in the process of changing your thinking, you have to have a strategy. Now, here's what I want you to see. Not every stronghold is the same. See, we've thought that in our Christian lives, we can just take a cookie-cutter approach to everything, and everything will be okay. That's not true. All right? As we deal with those things that we described, the doorways that we have in our lives that maybe we're opening up ourselves to the enemy, maybe those hurts, those harms, those things, the wrong thinking, all of those things, what you need to understand is it's not a cookie-cutter approach to wipe those things out of your life. Every stronghold is different, and each one will require its own strategy. Okay? Now, here's the good news in all of this, and that is the Holy Spirit wants to give you a strategy on how to deal with these areas in your life. That's why, you know, I could tell you what I do, but I can't tell you what to do based on what I do. Unless there are steps lined out, as I gave you as far as renewing your mind. But what I'm saying to you is this. If I stand up and I tell you I have this area in my life and this is how you wipe out every area of your life is this right here, that's not going to help you because different strategies are needed for different areas in your life. And so you're going to have to develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit so He can begin to reveal to you the strategy on how to eradicate those things out of your life. Are you listening to me? It's so very important. So what this requires of us is that we spend time praying in the Spirit, reading the Word, and seeking the heart and the mind of God. Because I know there are things that God deals with me about in my life that He doesn't deal with Tripp about. Why? Because Tripp doesn't necessarily deal with the same things that I deal with. And so it's going to take a different strategy for my life that's different from his life. But if I look at his life and I say, well, that's what he did, bless God, I'm going to do that in my life. It might not work. Are you listening to me? I hope I'm helping somebody. See, in your own strength and wisdom, you'll never be able to conceive a plan that will cause your deliverance. When strongholds become deeply rooted in your mind, only the Holy Spirit can give you a strategy on how to pull those things down. And here's the good news. As I said, the Holy Spirit will show you how to use your God-given weapons, and He will instruct you on when and what to attack. Okay? So we're going to get into more of this later on, because here's what happens. We think, we see an area of our lives. So what we want to do is we go and attack this area. But unbeknownst to us, that's just a manifestation of something that's going on over here. And see, the Holy Spirit knows that this over here is just a smoke screen. That if we don't deal with this over here, then if we try and just deal with this over here, that's still going on. And we might get this puffed down a little bit, but it's only going to flame back up somewhere else. Are you listening to me? And so what God wants to do is He wants to show you what is the root of the problem so you can begin to deal with it with the Word of God and with the help of the Holy Ghost and get that stuff out of your life and shut the door once and for all on that ever and eradicate it from your life. Amen? Are you listening to me? Have I helped anybody today? Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we love You today. Thank You for the truths that we have heard. And Father, we thank You for Your love for us, that You care for us so deeply, Lord, that You want us to be free, that You want us to no longer live under the bondages of the enemy, but You want our lives to be different. You want our lives to be better. You want our lives to be in a position to where not only are we blessed and taken care of and free, but we're able to go and free somebody else and help them in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank You for that. Lord, I just believe in every single person under the sound of my voice is entering in to a new level in their lives, going higher and deeper in You, Father, and that You're setting them free from areas that have been pestering them for years and years and years. Father, I thank You that it is time for God's people to be free. Hallelujah. And so, Lord, we're going to walk in freedom like we never have been before. And we give You praise for it. And we love You, Jesus, with all of our hearts. Hallelujah. Now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to just ask you a couple of questions. If you're here under the sound of my voice this morning, and you might have never given your heart to Christ, you never received the Lord Jesus as your Savior and as your Lord, I want to give you that opportunity today. God wants your life to be different. And the only way that you receive that and enter into it is by a relationship with Him that comes through Jesus Christ. I'm not asking you to find religion. I'm not asking you to join Spring Hill Church. I'm asking you to open your heart, if you never have, to a relationship with Jesus, to receive what Jesus has already done for you, to have your sins forgiven, washed away, and to become a new person in Him. I want to give you that opportunity. You might be here today and You've given your heart to Christ at some point, but your heart has grown cold towards the things of God, and you're not living for the Lord like you know you should or you really want to. And then the enemy comes along and lies to you and tells you, well, you know, you've just messed up too badly, that what you are doing or have done, God doesn't love you anymore or He doesn't want you anymore. Well, listen, that is not the truth. The Scripture tells us that God pursues after us, that His mercy endures forever, and that His love will never fade away or pass away. And so I want to tell you that Jesus wants you back. As a matter of fact, He's pursuing you right now while you're sitting in this room. I'm going to ask you to do me a favor. I want to pray with you today, but I need to know that you need prayer. And it just takes a simple step of faith. And I'm not going to embarrass you or call you down front or put you on blast in front of everybody else. But I want you to do something really simple for me. And that is, if you need to give your heart to Christ for the first time or you need to recommit your life to the Lord, I'm going to ask you to do me a favor. Put your hand up right now. I want to pray with you. I want to pray with you. God bless you. God bless you. Church, if you believe in what we're doing, let's pray this prayer together. Say it so loud you could hear it with your own ears. Say, Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I believe with all my heart that you died for me. I believe that you shed your blood. I believe you were buried, but I believe you rose again. I believe you're alive today. And Jesus, I make you the Lord of my life. Forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me of my past and give me a brand new start. I believe I'm forgiven. I believe I'm brand new and I am clean in your sight. Fill me now with your Holy Spirit to the full and overflowing. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Church, let's make some noise. Amen. Come on, let's celebrate. Hallelujah. Yeah.
Thanks once again for tuning in to the Spring Hill Church podcast. We hope that you have been blessed by today's message. If you would like more information about the church, please feel free to visit us at springhill.cc.